The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia if they further engage.
I wanted to follow up briefly on a question asked by Bloomberg. You said that Russia would be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. Are you saying that a minor incursion by Russia into Ukrainian territory would not lead to the sanctions that you have threatened, or are you effectively giving Putin permission to make a small incursion into the country?
Good question. That's how it did sound like, didn't it? The most important thing to do, big nations can't bluff, number one. Number two, the idea that we would do anything to split NATO, which would be have a profound impact on one of, I think, profound impact on one of Putin's objectives to weaken NATO, would be a big mistake.
Well, maybe starting with a clip that kind of leaves you speechless isn't the best policy, but there we go. We'll get to that in a minute. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on 101.3 on the FM dial. In the Edmond, Oklahoma area, live on Facebook, on Roku, on our website, thetrumpet.com. You can get the live video on all of those places. You can listen on CRN Digital Talk Radio. I kind of feel like I've been learning about more and more places that this show is going out live just over the last week or so, as Mr. Flory has been covering some more of that. Well, this is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flory. And just an astounding comment from President Biden at the start there. I've seen some coverage of it. I'm surprised I've not seen more in some ways. I mean, it's basically an official invitation from the US president for Russia to invade Ukraine. You know, go ahead, just make it, just keep it a small invasion, please. And then it'll be fine. You know, there'll be no consequences if you just keep it small. And then the reporter asked, well, it sounds like you're giving Russia permission to invade Ukraine. And President, the fake president, Mr. Biden, he says, well, yeah, it does sound like that, doesn't it? And then he leaves it at that. He moves on to another subject. He doesn't correct himself and say, well, absolutely, I should not give that impression. He says, yeah, it sounds like I am giving that impression. And moving on. I mean, it's almost like he openly admits, yeah, I'm trying to give the impression here that Russia can invade Ukraine. I mean, I don't know how you could be more explicit in a press conference. And imagine if that were President Trump that we played at the clip there, saying those same things. Well, as long as it's a small invasion, we won't do anything. And, well, yeah, it does sound like I'm inviting Russia to invade Ukraine, doesn't it? Or it does sound like I'm giving them permission for a small incursion. You know, that comment would be on CNN every evening for the next 2 years, at least. He'd probably be impeached for just that comment. Well, there it is, Russian collusion, right there. He did it on live TV. And you would never, ever hear the end of it. But it wouldn't surprise me. I haven't had a look at the New York Times this morning, actually. But it wouldn't surprise me if that particular clip is nowhere on CNN or New York Times or anywhere of the kind of legacy media. Just, like I said, it kind of almost leaves me speechless. He's right there telling Putin, well, yeah, well, you can go ahead and invade. I mean, no wonder nobody respects America under President Biden. Abandons allies in Afghanistan and then just preemptively throws Ukraine under the bus. Takes this American ally and says, oh yeah, we don't mind if you invade them as long as it's just a small chunk. And, you know, as much as the Democrats have really pushed Russian collusion, and so often they accuse other people of what they themselves are guilty of, it really does make you wonder, who is doing the Russian collusion? How much is going on here? The way that he's just quite happy to to make those kind of statements. The Telegraph wrote it led to suspicions a deal was being done behind Ukraine's back. You know, some people are kind of writing this off as, oh, well, crazy old Mr. Biden. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He says these bizarre things. Others are saying, well, no, maybe he's saying the quiet part out loud, that yes, we've told Russia we won't mind unless they do anything, if they do anything small. Indeed, this Telegraph article states the fear in Kiev was that Mr. Biden had not so much been wrong, but that it inadvertently told the truth. I mean, you know, like I said, who really is doing the Russian collusion here? I mean, here's the clip from several years ago when Mr. Obama was running up for re-election, when he was meeting with the then Russian leader Dmitry Medvedev.
My last election, yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah.
I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and understand what.
And the left go on and on and on about election interference, election stealing, all of this. And right there, he was saying, you know, if I win the election, then I'll be more flexible to Russia. How much of a hint, if you give me a hand, I'll be more flexible to Russia, was there in that? Again, if that was President Trump that had done something like that while running to re-election, he would have been impeached just for that. So I didn't really mean to talk too much about Ukraine today, but wow, that comment was just unbelievable. Where, like I said, how much have they agreed already just to let Russia, Ukraine have whatever they want? I mean, another country that certainly seems like they've let Russia have whatever they want is Germany. It's really been a remarkable week for Germany NATO relations. We're seeing Germany more and more just about openly side with Russia, a trend that we've watched for years. I mean, this is a trend Mr. Gerald Flurry has been on top of. I've got a clip here. This is from 3.5 years ago where he was talking on the Key of David about how Germany is wrecking NATO. And this is a fantastic example of tomorrow's news today. I mean, nobody was talking about it then. And I feel like I've seen maybe even half a dozen headlines along those lines this week. We'll play the clip and then I'll go through one of those articles with you. But this was he was talking about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, how this particular pipeline is designed to undermine NATO and what it says about what Germany is doing. Here's clip 3.
Now, all of this is happening, and what it's going to do is to wreck NATO, and that's really the very purpose of it. Why would they want to wreck NATO? Well, I think you could see why Vladimir Putin would want to wreck NATO. But so does Germany, because they're thinking about the Holy Roman Empire and having their own power now, and they've just about maybe gotten all they can from America. So they're ready to move on and have 10 kings rise up in Europe and build an awesome power according to Bible prophecy. NATO was created mainly to protect Germany in particular and other European nations from Russia, mainly. I mean, who else is over there they're going to be that afraid of? And that's what it was all about.
So NATO was set up to protect them, but now Germany, he was saying, there has had enough. They're ready to move on. In a lot of ways, they view NATO and an American power in Europe as an obstacle to be overcome, something that's preventing a German-led, or not preventing, it's rising very quickly, but it's an obstacle in the way of this German-led European federal state, European superpower that they want to create. So the next step for Germany to do that is to have America out of Europe, to dismantle NATO. And that's what they've been doing this week with Russia or really threatening Ukraine and Germany sitting down doing nothing. And in some ways, from that perspective, whether Russia does or does not invade is irrelevant. Germany's shown which side that they're on, who they're siding with. This is from Politico. This is today. Germany's pivot from America. Germany's pivot from America. This is exactly what Mr. Flurry was writing about 3.5 years ago. And I've got some quotes from an article that's even 4 years before that. And he was writing on that even ahead of then. Germany's pivot from America to outward appearances, Berlin is far from AWOL on Ukraine, but when the cameras are turned off, Germany's tone changes. That's the quip for this article. Sometimes they talk tough, but you look at their actions and they don't match it. Mr. Stephen Fleury mentioned it yesterday. It got lots of people's attention that when the UK flies weapons to Ukraine, they have to go around Germany. I mean, we've got a screenshot that we can put up for you where a British MP tweeted a picture of the flight paths where these aeroplanes, where the British aeroplanes going to Ukraine are having to go out of their way to fly around Germany. Now, both Britain and Germany, they've tried to kind of play this down now, with Britain saying, well, we just didn't ask Germany for permission because it just saves time that way. But, I mean, they had to ask Denmark for permission instead. Surely it would have saved time just to ask Germany and kept it going on that shorter route over German airspace. They are quite clearly going out of their way to go around Germany, whatever excuses they put out. They knew that it would be a hard process to get approval from Germany, or a time-consuming process, and maybe they'd even been advised that Germany would say no. So they're having to route all of these flights carrying arms and things like that to Ukraine around Germany, because Germany is not on NATO's side. This is one NATO member having to route their weapons deliveries around another NATO member because they're basically not on the same side in this conflict. That alliance is kind of effectively over. Germany has pivoted from America. This Politico article says, under the influence of a potent cocktail of energy and commercial interests and a political culture laced with good old-fashioned anti-Americanism, Germany has strayed from the Western fold. They're not an American ally anymore. Instead of locking arms with the US and other transatlantic allies to help Ukraine prepare for an attack, Germany has sought to placate Russia by taking some of the West's most powerful deterrents off the table. So, even when Joe Biden isn't giving Russia permission to invade NATO, or when he's not, American officials tend to be trying to come up with these threats, saying, well, okay, if you invade, we will do this. And Germany is repeatedly coming up and saying, no, maybe not that far. Let's not do that. And pushing these much more ineffectual penalties and taking penalties off the table. America's talking about cutting Russia off from the SWIFT payment system, which is based in Europe, but America just has a big control over, that's used to funnel money between banks. And even Germany's conservative leadership have said, well, no, that would be like dropping an atomic bomb on the financial markets. We can't do that. We mustn't respond that way. And so they're just making it much harder for America to confront Russia. This article on Politico, it states, in fact, Germany's drift away from the US reflects a deeper shift that began with the Iraq War and has continued in fits and starts ever since, most significantly during Donald Trump's presidency. So there is a deeper shift here. Between Germany and the United States, one that we've been talking about for a long time. And it's interesting that even while Germany is quite obviously working against America, President Biden is trying to go out of his way to placate them, to give them more. Politico writes that in an effort to repair the damage, President Joe Biden made courting Germany an early priority. He canceled Trump's plans to pull out all American troops from Germany, it writes, invited then-Chancellor Merkel to the White House and waived sanctions on Nord Stream 2, while the US and other NATO allies would hand Moscow a powerful tool to intimidate Europe. He even appointed several Germanophiles to key positions in his administration. And it goes into to name some of these people that are very friendly to Germany. But despite all of this, Germany's not interested. I thought this point was interesting from this article. It says, on a shelf dedicated to American issues at downtown Berlin's largest bookstore, the following titles were recently on prominent display. Crazed, the American Catastrophe, America's Holy Warriors, What the U.S. Has Perpetrated Since 1945, America on Fire. So Berlin's bookstores, if you want to look up America, you've got all these books on how terrible America is, how horrible America is. And you really saw this on display with Spiegel. Spiegel is like Europe's largest circulation magazine. It's huge. And unlike Time and some of these other magazines, it's maintained its popularity even as we kind of move into the digital age. And they're cover after cover after cover. It was just Donald Trump's a baby. Mr. Trump is Hitler. Mr. Trump is going to destroy the world. Mr. Trump is swearing at the world. It was just absolutely grotesquely insulting. And it wasn't just a one-off. It was again and again and again and again. You can see a deep-seated hatred here. But just those are the book titles. It goes in to talk about Annika Brockschmidt, who basically builds off the rubbish that's being peddled by CNN and many of these radically left-wing outlets and repackages it, maybe even adds to it with some fictions of her own for the German audience. And she's been putting out this portrayal of America that is very distorted and in Germany incredibly popular. Because as this Politico article brings out, that's what people want to believe about America. It quotes, this Politico article quotes from the book, "Their God, America's God, is not soft or forgiving, but rather revengeful and militant." That's the God that Americans worship, she says. It goes on to say, "Brockschmidt's fire and brimstone are all the more striking, given that she appears to paint her portrait of America without visiting the United States or even having spoken to the subjects of her book." So she's never been there, but she knows that all Americans worship a vengeful and militant God. And it gets lapped up. You know, she's not some, this is not some minor insignificant book. The article points out, Brockschmidt was recently named one of Germany's top 30 journalists under 30. It goes on to say she recently appeared on one of Germany's highest-ranking talk shows to plug her book and discuss America's dysfunction with Sigmar Gabriel, the former foreign minister. So she's been treated like she's a real expert on America. She's never been, but she knows they worship a vengeful and militant God. She's a regular on Germany's podcast circuit. The article says, "Brockschmidt is far from the only one predicting an American apocalypse. Yet the success of her tendacious tome suggests these voices are telling Germans exactly what they want to hear." So, you see a hatred building here. But this is something, like I mentioned, that Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry has been writing on for a long time. I've got some quotes here from an article he wrote called "The Significance of Germany's Break from America." And that was all the way back in October 2014. So going back some years here. And he was really drawing attention to that. This is a trend that we need to be watching, this break from America. And like I said, it's a trend that's become much, much closer since then. But he's been making this forecast for all of this time because it's based on Bible prophecy, because the Bible tells us about this coming trend. Ezekiel chapter 23 talks about this relationship that you're seeing between the United States and Germany. It talks about, Ezekiel 23, it talks about modern Israel. It talks, so you're talking about the United States, United Kingdom, Israel in the Middle East. And it talks about how they treat Germany as a lover, giving all kinds of gifts. But it's a one-way direction. Germany is just using these countries, happy to get these gifts, but then plans to betray them. And you know, you see that turn. You see that turn happening with Ukraine. You see that turn, or maybe it's already happened, but being revealed, being put on display with Ukraine. More and more people, like this Politico author, and this is not the only headline I've seen. This is probably the best, but definitely not the only one. On what we're seeing over Ukraine, this real turnaround and stab in the back from Germany. And maybe it's more subtle, say, than a real outright stab in the back right now, but it's very clear that they have switched sides, and people are waking up to that. People are waking up to that. Verse 17 talks about how it says that your mind was alienated from them. You know, that you really don't think the same way. And this is what you see with all of these book titles and these Spiegel covers. Their mind is alienated from the United States. They're not on the same side as the United States, the way that so many in America just take it for granted that they are. And we've got more on this betrayal in our upcoming Trumpet print edition that's going to go to the printers very soon, I think today or tomorrow. It's full of material on what's happening right now in Russia, bang up to date, which is just it's just interesting because we began working on a lot of these pieces. You know, Mr. Flurry gave a Key of David and he's got an article based on that. And that Key of David, I think, was January, December, maybe even November. I think December, though. But there's a lot on this German-Russian relationship, on the way that Germany is turning against NATO in this Trumpet print. It's an absolutely critical subject to watch, and we'll get to some more as to why this turn against the United States is so critical to watch. But while we're in this region, I just thought I'd bring up another few good articles that I'd seen this week. Robert Kaplan, he had a very good one in for the Wall Street Journal, Russia, China, and the Bid for Empire. He's probably one of my favorite geopolitics writers, at least in the press. But he wrote, intellectuals can't stop denouncing the West for its legacy of imperialism. But the imperialism on the march today is in the East. And he's absolutely right. You know, if imperialism is this great evil that needs to be confronted, well, that means confronting Russia and China right now. You know, they're the ones poised to invade Ukraine or Taiwan, taking control of Hong Kong in China's case. He writes, Russia and China are determined to consume Ukraine and Taiwan, legacies of the Romanov and Qing dynasties, respectively, into the latest version of their historical empires. They're building empires before our eyes. We're in a new age of empire at the moment. Technology has intensified this struggle for imperial geography. Great power war has become entirely imaginable because of the reduced emphasis on thermonuclear bombs in an era of hypersonic missiles, automated weapon systems, and information warfare. Russia and China demonstrate that the struggle for empire has rarely had such nerve-wracking stakes. We're in a new struggle for empire, and this time the stakes are higher. What's going on? The stakes are even bigger. And maybe we don't focus as much on nuclear weapons right now, but things like hypersonic missiles mean that you could have a surprise nuclear attack become something that's much more believable and possible. You know, the left, like I said, the left talks constantly about how evil empire is. Well, if it is, let's stop it with Russia and China. You know, those are the ones that are pushing forwards in this way. It says if Russia and China didn't take pride in empire, they wouldn't be attempting to rule Taiwan and Ukraine today. It also says the problem now isn't imperialism per se, but the meddling of imperialism with Leninist methods of control, which continue to define Russia and Chinese rule. You know, it's not just any empire that we're dealing with these two. It's an empire with this Leninist-style dictatorship. It says, meanwhile, the American left should focus on where empire as an ideal truly endures, which isn't in the West. Before I move on to a different region, I wanted to mention one other story from Europe. Austria is really taking their COVID vaccine mandates very seriously. Austria, they've got one of the strictest mandates in the world. Germany's moving towards having the same kind of mandate. And The Spectator did a really good job of exposing what is going on there. They had an article, Austria is becoming a nightmare for the unvaccinated, where they talked about how vaccine refuseniks set to face fines, potential bankruptcies, and possible prison sentences from February. And I don't think there's anything, like, we knew what Russia or what Austria was doing, but this article does a good job of bringing it to life and showing how damaging a lot of this is. And it talks about how now, even before this mandate has gone into effect, Austria's large minority of unvaccinated people are essentially unable to participate in society. While the vaccinated are free to roam as they please, albeit with the proper paperwork, the only physical businesses the unvaccinated can visit are banks, food shops, and pharmacies. They're barred from all other shops, businesses, theaters, restaurants, bars, and museums. The list, as long as it is depressing. Every shop window now has a sign warning those that haven't had the jab to stay out. You know, not welcome. Not you. It's just like the 1930s, really. Some shops redouble the humiliation by inviting unvaccinated clients to ring a bell and wait until they can be served outside in Austria in winter. It talks about how hundreds of new positions in the civil service are being created to man this new apparatus. There's this big recruiting drive now. They're even advertising to get retired police officers to come back so that they can form this force of unvaccinated finders so that they can police this, so that they can track down those that refuse the jab. He quotes somebody who wrote, a Spectator commenter who wrote, responded to a different article saying, I'm aghast, and I'm especially aghast at how few other people are aghast. And it is crazy to think that a country could do this to its own citizens and not have a revolution or something. I mean, it is just insane. But it's exactly what Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Ferry wrote in the Trumpet of summer 2020. Europe is being conditioned for tyranny. And it's tomorrow's news today. That's what coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire, that's what he wrote was going to happen. You know, it's tomorrow's news today because it's based on the Bible. It's based on this right here. And exactly what the Bible says is going to happen becomes news. And so that's, you know, it's from that foundation that this Trumpet magazine predicts and forecasts what is happening. We'd be very happy to send you a free copy of that or to give you a free subscription to that. You can go to our website, thetrumpet.com. We've got a free phone number, 1-866-930-3024. And we'd be very happy to send you that. And if you go to our website, you can find ways to get in touch with us wherever you are in the world or order it online. We're not just in the United States. We've got offices and congregations all around the world. So we'd be very happy to send you a free subscription to that and have tomorrow's news today. Well, we'll take a quick break. When we get back, we'll look at the Middle East and continue on this trend of all of these countries working together against the United States. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Herbert W. Armstrong long forecast the arrival of a military superpower in Europe. In a world where European nations can't rely on the United States. Hurrah! One in which they fear Russia and face the constant threat of radical terror. Their only hope of survival is to band together. This is what we see happening. And what we see happening was prophesied in your Bible. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire to learn about the history of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire and to understand where the events in Europe today are leading. 3,000 years ago, the prophet Daniel explained that at the time of the end, radical Islam would push against Europe. That time is now. We are witnessing the first manifestations of this Islamist push against Europe. And it's leading to a spectacular clash between these two prophesied kings, the King of the North and the King of the South. What does the Bible say about the identity of these two kings? What about the end time? Will everyone be affected by these events? Request our two booklets, The King of the South and Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Once again, this is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. And like I said at the start, you can get us on all these different places, 101.3 on the FM dial, our website, thetrumpet.com, Roku, and more. But however you listen, we're very glad that you are joining us. I wanted to start by playing a bit of a video that Iran released recently. I think it was a Twitter account linked to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. In case anyone's unsure about exactly their foreign policy, we can start that rolling. I'll just kind of keep talking because there's not really any audio to it. But this video is just a pretty direct and very public threat from Iran to assassinate President Trump. This is kind of their, if you can't see the video, if you're listening just on one of the audio streams, that it's showing an Iranian robot approaching Donald Trump's golf course in Mar-a-Lago in Florida, hacking the security camera. It shows a drone approaching. It then shows the Iranians hacking into the phone of somebody, I think in Mr. Trump's entourage, sending them a message about how this is revenge for Donald Trump killing President Soleimani, or not President Soleimani, sorry, but the leader of Iran's Revolutionary Guard that was assassinated during Donald Trump's presidency. So hacking into the phone and then using the robot to act as a target for the drone. And then the drone killing President Trump, murdering former U.S. president, really the current U.S. president, if you look at those real election results. But a very blatant threat from Iran. I mean, in Bible prophecy, the Bible talks about the King of the South, this pushy leader of the Middle East, and you really see Iran fulfilling that role. And we have our free booklet, The King of the South, that will do much more to prove that is indeed the role that Iran is fulfilling. But they put out this kind of video, this very direct threat. And their use of drones is increasing. You know, they launched a drone attack on Abu Dhabi on January 17th, or rather the Houthis, this armed terrorist group, did. But you know, everyone knows where the Houthis get their drones from. This is an Iranian terrorist attack, basically, on the United Arab Emirates. Three were killed, six were injured. They hit some fuel tankers in a particular industrial district. There was a fire at a storage facility near the airport. Flights had to be temporarily suspended. The Saudis claim that they intercepted eight drones, so it looks like maybe there was a simultaneous attack planned for both the UAE and Saudi Arabia. The Jerusalem Post writing on this, they noted, the Gulf country is planning to ask the United States to redesignate the Houthi movement as a terrorist organization following Monday's attack, as well as the capture of Emirati ship off the coast of Yemen several weeks ago. Now, remember, these guys are people that Joe Biden said are not terrorists. He took them off America's list of official terrorist organizations. And I can't remember, he had some crazy comments at the time, something like, well, America has no beef with these guys, or something like that. And it's like, well, yeah, that doesn't stop them hating you. That doesn't stop them attacking you. And they've just... they're off the terrorist watch list, or the terrorist list. They're still terrorists. But you see Iran's strategy of getting control of these sea gates, of pushing these terrorist attacks. So Iran is threatening to assassinate a former U.S. president. Iran wants to attack global oil markets and get control over these. Well, who's supporting these guys? Who's supporting Iran? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we come to some important news from the last few days. Guess where Iran's president is right now? He is meeting with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. As Iran gets more and more kind of anti-American and even unhinged, Russia and China are backing them more and more. I mean, the Obama administration, or the Biden administration, or, you know, whatever we have going on in the United States right now, they also repeatedly back Iran. You had even John Kerry visiting with the Iranian foreign minister while the Democrats were out of office. You know, again, telling them, well, just hold on. Don't succumb to any pressure from President Trump. We have a plan to come back and we'll support you when we do. And it tells you a whole lot about what you need to know about them. It tells you a whole lot of what you need to know about just about anyone if you just look at where they stand on Iran. Whose side are they on? But Russia, China and Iran, they're about to hold military drills together. Last February, so I guess February 2021, they did a similar thing. So, on Al Monitor, they wrote about these preparations for military drills between the three in the Middle East that are going on. Preparations for the latest maneuvers came as Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi called for permanent and strategic cooperation with the Kremlin to counter the United States' influence during a meeting with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Wednesday. So, they're working with Iran. Oilprice.com, they had an article on Monday. China is chipping away at America's influence in the Middle East. And this is focusing more on China's relationship with Saudi Arabia and a lot of these Gulf states. And talks about how it's trying to push all of these countries towards a Chinese trade deal. And the thrust of the argument, article really, is that Saudi Arabia and all these others, they see that they can't rely on the United States. After Afghanistan, they're pretty nervous. They see that the United States is not going to confront Iran, and then they see that they can't rely on the United States to defend its allies either. So once Iran gets more powerful, they're not going and harms them. They can't rely on the United States for their defense. They see that China is kind of helping to enable Iran, and so then they're going to China and trying to get China to help them or back away from Iran. Foreign Policy also this week, they had a good article. Biden can no longer ignore growing Iran-China ties. They're all backing this number one terrorist sponsoring country. So this time it was not their prime minister or their president, but the Iranian foreign minister who was visiting China. I think it was last Friday. It might be going to go this Friday. I can't remember the date. I didn't put that down on this article. But, you know, Iran's president is in Moscow. The foreign minister is going to China. It talks about the comprehensive strategic partnership that these two countries signed last year. It says growing Sino-Iranian security cooperation represents a serious threat to core U.S., Israeli and Gulf ally security interests. It talks about this partnership that they signed last year, March, April 2021, a 25-year strategic partnership. And basically it talks about how China is getting a foothold into the Middle East through Iran. and it's getting access to things like Iranian oil and a whole load of these things that it can benefit from. And it says, for its part, Iran will get billions of dollars in Chinese energy and infrastructure investment, undercutting the effectiveness of U.S. sanctions against the regime. Talks about how China is buying Iranian energy and how that this is helping Iran get around things like the nuclear deal. When America puts sanctions on Iran, when someone like Donald Trump says, nope, can't trade with Iran, while China is there willing to just hand Iran money, give Iran, help Iran keep going. This article says, if past is prologue, Tehran will use a significant portion of that additional revenue to build its missile and drone arsenal, advance its nuclear program, export terrorism, and attack its neighbors. This is what it's doing with Chinese money. It's going after its neighbors. Furthermore, this article goes on to say, while the final terms of the strategic partnership agreement remain secret, a leaked copy of the agreement, labeled final version, called for China and Iran to conduct combined military training, exercises, weapons development, and intelligence sharing. That should make the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates sit up and take note. Increased Sino-Iranian military cooperation could, over time, significantly improve Iranian military capacity. If Iranian forces were to acquire improved anti-access aerial denial capabilities from China, Tehran might come to believe it could deter or defend against an attack designed to halt an Iranian sprint to a nuclear weapons capability. So, China is helping Iran defend itself, potentially even defend a nuclear weapon or defend its nuclear program, giving some of its technologies and things like that. And then what all of this reminds me of, both what we talked about now and then also in the first half, is an article that Trumpet.com managing editor Brad McDonald wrote, let's see, July 2020, the global ambition to destroy America and its president. The global ambition, there is really this building global effort to take down the United States, where, I mean, he was writing about it during Donald Trump's presidency in July 2020, and maybe back then it was a little more disconnected. You know, you looked at Europe and you saw a pretty absurd level of hatred for the United States. I mean, look, I'm not American, and I will quite happily talk at length on faults that I believe America has, or faults in American foreign policy. And you know, you don't want to get me started on, say, America refusing to oppose the IRA on terrorism, for example, and giving safe harbor to IRA terrorists. You know, I have things that I will quite happily criticize the United States for. At the same time, so much of what has been going around Germany and Europe is patently ridiculous. And coming from people like that article, like we talked about in the first half, that have never even visited the United States. There's just, you sense this growing hate. He wrote in this article, anti-American sentiment is increasing all over Europe. It's rife in American media, where Donald Trump is routinely portrayed as a colossal doofus and the root of world problems. Meanwhile, Europe's leaders and officials outdo themselves trying to land digs at America and its president. And it's not just Europe. Today, many of the world's most influential countries, institutions, and organizations are brazenly anti-American. Everyone knows Russia and China consider the United States an adversary, and that Germany and France are taking on the same view. But even Americans' relations with traditional allies, such as South Korea, the Philippines, and Japan, are deteriorating. You know, and you see this all around the world. You see this within Germany. You see this in France. You see this in their news coverage and how completely unhinged it is. But what I think is the way that this is kind of developing is, back then it was just more of a disconnected hate. Like I was saying, you had all of these different countries that disliked America. You really see a lot of that coming together now. You know, okay, well, Iran doesn't like America and talks, shouts death to America, and Russia and China are opposing America. The Russia-China alliance has just been getting stronger since Mr. McDonald wrote that article. Now you see Russia and China's support for Iran getting stronger. Then you see Germany starting to build this relationship with Russia, and people waking up to the fact, you know, actually Germany's not, is there, are they our ally anymore, or are they Russia's ally? Because they're starting to behave more like Russia's ally. You see them switching sides. So all of these places where you kind of had this individual anti-American sentiment, they're all starting to come together. You're starting to see this anti-American alliance emerge. And then within the United States, you even have an administration that is happy to work hand in glove with that, happy to empower Germany, that is trying to negotiate an Iran deal that would make it easier again for Iran to get nuclear weapons. And all of these countries are kind of plotting together to a certain extent. I mean, imagine if somebody made a video, I don't know, say of assassinating Mikhail Gorbachev. I mean, you have to go quite a long way back to find an ex-Russian leader because they've just been stuck. Well, maybe Dmitry Medvedev. What if there was a world leader who made a video boasting that they were going to assassinate Dmitry Medvedev? And then the US was aligned with that leader and giving that country money and aid and helping them with their weapons programs. That would be an outrage. That would be a major scandal. Russia working with Iran is just kind of business as usual. But in that article, there's a whole range of Bible prophecies that you can tie that into. But Mr. McDonald tied that into 2 Kings chapter 14, this chapter that we just come back to so regularly because it describes what is happening within America and outside America. And this chapter talks about King Jeroboam II, this king of the northern tribes of Israel. And he's a king who comes up very prominently in the minor prophets, and especially in Amos. And you can look at the book of Amos, you can see that these prophecies in the book of Amos are, I'm turning all over the place because I'm not paying attention to where I'm turning, but you can see that these prophecies are very clearly end time prophecies. They've got prophecies about things that just didn't happen anciently, that didn't apply and couldn't apply to the reign of the original Jeroboam II. You know, it talks about this wonderful time of plenty that is coming, for example, and peace and security, prophecies for a world tomorrow, prophecies for a world after Jesus Christ's return. And so there's going to be an end time type of this Jeroboam II shortly before Christ returns. And that means that some of these verses from the book of Kings that describe what the end time Jeroboam II's reign was like, well, they give us insight into what some things are going to be like in modern Israel, in Britain and America, alike in this end time. And you can read more about Britain and America in the Bible in our free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But he focuses on in 2 Kings 14, verse 25 and 26, which says, "For the Eternal saw that the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said not that he would be blotted out under the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." And Mr. Flurry says, well, you could use the same language to describe America in 2018 when the nation was suffering the devastating effects of a president who hated the Constitution and the rule of law. And we've been, you know, since this article was written, there's been more and more revelation, more and more detail that God has shown, and from these verses and about the next verse in particular. But in that article, you know, the global the global ambition to destroy America and its president, Mr. McDonald tied in what we see in the world scene about this, that there's a global effort to take down the United States, a global hatred. And what we see here in 2 Kings chapter 14 is inspired by the spirit world, that, you know, God says he's working with Israel. The Bible is full of promises and prophecies and promises about the nations of Israel. God says he's working with them. He has a plan there. The Bible is also very clear that there's an evil spirit being, that there's Satan the devil, who is working against God's plan. And so Satan is working to blot out Israel. And we see that reflected in the attack from within. You see that reflected in all of the anger and hatred and emotions being stirred up against America from without. And all of these countries now working together to bring down the United States. And God has mapped out exactly how it's all going to play out. He talks about how he is going to save America from some of these threats, especially the internal ones, through President Trump. You know, he will be coming back. And God is going to give America, Britain, all of Israel, you know, another opportunity to repent, to turn to him. If he does not, though, if we keep ignoring what God says, if we keep ignoring the commandments, well, then he's going to withdraw his protection. He won't protect the United States from these threats that we see building from outside America, from the entire world coming together to attack America. And without that protection, without God's blessing, America's not going to be able to withstand that. Britain's not going to be able to withstand that. Israel in the Middle East is not going to be able to withstand that. They'll be defeated. And the Bible talks about all of these punishments that's coming. But God spells it all out for us in advance so that we can see that he is in control, that it's all happening according to his plan, that we can turn to him at any point, individually, nationally, for protection. And the end result of all of this is going to be wonderful because it's his plan. He spells it all out for us to point us all to him, so we can all turn to God and see where this is leading. And we spell that out for you regularly in our Trumpet magazine. I'll put in one more plug for that. You can also see more about that. I focus on a lot of Trumpet articles today. You can read more about that in The Global Ambition to Destroy America and its President from Mr. McDonald. And also, you can read more about just this attack on America in our free book, Great Again and America Under Attack. I think we'll have an expanded version of that out soon. But Great Again is certainly a great resource. You can get at our website. You can get all of that from our website, thetrumpet.com, or you can give us a call at 1-866-930-3024. We'll take a short break and we will be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. In the few minutes remaining, I'll do a brief bit of Bible study about a proverb that I think is just especially relevant in the world of COVID. In our book, Malachi's Message, Mr. Joab Flurry writes, in the Laodicean churches, spiritual courage may be the greatest need. In these churches that were falling away from God or have fallen away from God, spiritual courage is a great need. It's something that tends to be greatly lacking in God's people today. It's something that's massively lacking in our countries today. You know, today we make a virtue out of cowardice. The more afraid you are, the more layers of protection that you put on, the more masks you wear, the more hazmat suits you put on, the better person you are. And I'm sure you've seen countless articles about people who are just, you know, praising people who are too scared to get together with friends, too scared to get out and do anything. And if you stay at home and do nothing, you are a hero. And like you heard yesterday, even, I think it was that clip from Bill Maher, those people that actually do follow the news accurately, they know the risks from COVID and Omicron are minuscule. And even before Omicron, you saw this direction of travel for our nations. Peter Hitchens had an article, I didn't write down where it was actually, but I really liked this quote. He was quoting some earlier author who said, though the snowstorm hurled that drives our English hearts of oak seaward round the world, or through the snowstorms hurled that drives us English hearts of oak seaward around the world. And he says, well, at least it used to. Now we shelter behind the double glazing and watch television, hoping that no hardier people will take advantage of our decadence while we are slumped on cushions with our mouths hanging open slightly, gazing at the adventures of others. This is a time of timidity and inactivity. And there's a fascinating proverb that ties both of these together. Timidity and inactivity. And that's in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. Helps if I turn to the right chapter. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The slothful man, the lazy man says, there's a lion without, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. And Mr. McDonald wrote an article back in 2008, on this. I didn't write down the title. I should have done. Maybe Jacob could find it and stick it up on the screen based on some of these quotes. You've got 6 minutes. Here at the human mind, motivated by selfishness and laziness, will go to great lengths, even to the point of concocting the most ridiculous excuses to avoid work and fulfilling responsibility. The word lion in Hebrew means pictures or images of lions. The lion outside the lazy man's house in this proverb is not real. Rather, it's an image or a picture that has been fabricated. Now, I'm sure some with COVID, they're genuinely misinformed. They're genuinely scared. But there's not really any determination still to go out and do anything. There's no real drive there. And so that fear is very easily allowed to win. And you know, I think we're so steeped in this today. It's so easy for this type of thinking to rub off on us. This is such a sedate, inactive society that we can reach for excuses very easily to avoid taking the action that we need to. Whether it's going out and serving, whether it's taking action just in our own lives, we can so easily find excuses. And sure, it's probably not, I'm scared of COVID. Maybe it's, the COVID regulations make it so hard or so inconvenient to do these particular things. But it can rub off on us. Mr. McDonald writes, Bible commentaries explain further by concocting images of lions prowling outside his door. Sungsino commentary says, the lazy man invents a fantastic reason for not going about his business. I mean, isn't that what we see now? JFB, Jameson Fawcett Brown, says that he invents dangers to excuse his indolence in staying at home instead of going forth into active business. We've had 2 years of that. People inventing excuses for getting all of us to stay at home. But Mr. McDonald says there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of lions roaming the streets of the human mind. Even the least imaginative mind can be surprisingly creative when it comes to fabricating excuses, to avoiding Bible study, entertaining, serving, and the list goes on. And he talks about all of these different imaginary lions. There we go. We've got the news article up. Thank you very much, Jacob. Conquer Your Lions is the title, if you want to look that up, from 2008. As I said, it's worth pulling out of the archive because it is so, this is just so much the spirit of the day. Stay at home. Being scared is good. Do nothing. He talks about 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It makes a really interesting point from this passage as well. Which this also talks about lions. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. But he focuses on this word sober, which can mean to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate and circumspect. Mr. McDonald writes, this means being self-aware, included on our thoughts and motivations. Be on guard against our proclivity to concoct excuses. When our minds are alert to motivations, discerning excuses becomes easier. Strive to develop the mental discipline to see when we are concocting an imaginary lion. I mean, we're doing that as a society, concocting imaginary lions. But what about individually? He talks about vigilance in this chapter. Peter does in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Vigilant meaning to watch, to give it strict attention to, or to be active. The real lions, they're defeated through activity. Through being vigilantly active. We can think about spiritual courage as something that we need in the epic moments of life and these big challenges, but we build it through everyday activity, through being bold, through getting things done. So we cannot cultivate spiritual boldness, any kind of boldness, by staying at home, by doing what's easy, by watching television. We need to be active Christians, actively working in our Bible study, actively working on ourselves, actively working to serve others. Well, it's been great to be here on the show. Very happy to have some time to spend with you. Any of the material that we've got that I mentioned, you can look that up on our website, thetrumpet.com. We'd be very happy to hear from you. You'd be more than welcome to email the show at td@thetrumpet.com. Or you can give us a call on our free phone number if there's any of the material that you would like to order at 1-866-930-3024. We'll see you again tomorrow.